Good morning. Good to see y'all this morning, this last service of 24. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here and worship together. Let's start out in prayer, and then we will need all your help that we can get in singing these songs. So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your provisions of this year, Lord, that you have brought us this far, that you have watched over us, Lord, and just graced us, Lord. And we pray that you will continue to have your hand on us and allow us to be your people as we go into 25 and go into this new year, Lord. Allow us to see you, who you are, what you have done for us, and use our blessings and use who we are for you and your glory, God. We praise you and we thank you for this day that we can stand here in your presence, that we can just feel you within us, Lord, that you can lead and guide us and make us new and new, Lord. We pray that you will just be with us this morning. Your spirit be on us in Christ's name. Amen. Y'all stand with us.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall
this morning. I just wanted to read from Romans chapter 5. In one it says, "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that afflictions produce endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. This past year, I know many have been through trials, many have been through victories. Whatever we've been through this year, our hope is not in whether things go our way. Our hope is in the one who came here holy, who came here to redeem us back to him. That's what we come here to celebrate today, as we lift up his grace, his amazing grace for us. May it be a true praise in our heart for what he has done, for what he has given us. As we praise him, let's just worship him.
Forever mine.
Welcome. So glad that you're here. Part of our 10 o'clock one worship service that we have for today. And this is the one Sunday a year where we just combine and join together and have our one worship service. I know that I've already made a huge mistake, though, this morning. Janice and I were getting ready, and I said, all right, you know, I'm kind of casual today, honey, so I'm wearing my Apple Watch. Not new, it's just, you know, that I've had for a while. And I said, so help me to cut off Siri, because Siri likes to talk to me when I'm, you know, if I make the mistake of putting this on. So Janice did. She told me, okay, we cut off Siri. But then I forget about the fact, if you're ADD like me, and this thing is just notifications and you're going on, getting text messages already from people in the congregation. One of our guys is sitting on the back. I'm not going to call his name or anything, but he sends me a text. I look down and he goes, did you get that vest for Christmas? Sure is looking good. No, I did not get this for Christmas. I've had this for a while, but thank you for the text message. I got to take this thing off. I can't deal with that. Y'all will be driving me insane. All right, we're glad you're here. All of you that are guests of ours today, we're so thrilled that you're worshiping with us today. Stand up, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Ushers, if you'll come. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful, beautiful Sunday after Christmas, the last Sunday of 2024. We've been busy. We've been celebrating. And so we take a breath today. And it's good to take a breath in your house. Just to drink it all in and realize just how great our God really is. The only one true God who gives us hope and peace, joy, and love. All of that wrapped in a little baby, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So we're thankful for that celebration today. Father, today, as we think about bringing 2024 to an end and moving into 2025, we realize, Father, this light that we shine on the Christ candle needs to shine in our dark world. So give us strength and courage. Help us, Father, to join you in this thing called the mission of carrying the light of the gospel to a dark world. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to give and to celebrate. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Praise you and thank you for who you are and what you have done, Lord. And we just come to you now with open hearts, Lord. We pray that you will just allow us to receive your word, receive your message, Lord. We pray that you will just use Joel to speak your truth into our hearts and our lives, Lord. May we take what we hear and what we know to be true to go impact those around us, Lord, that you placed in our lives, Lord. We praise you and thank you. And we pray you would just speak to us, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Use Joel now. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, praise team, for leading us today. As we celebrate the last Sunday, it's actually officially no longer Advent, but we've got one more thing to do as far as Advent is concerned. So we've got to talk about the Christ candle. So we're going to do that today, and we're going to do that by looking at the traditional Christmas passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. So Matthew 1, 18 through 23, that's just the basic traditional Christmas passage of Scripture that we never did get to this Christmas season. So we're going to do that today as we kind of finish up and think about 2025 as well. So last Sunday night, we ended Carols by Candlelight by lighting the Christ candle, all right? And so and then spreading that light all over the congregation. So the imagery is what I love. I love the fact that it's beautiful. I love the fact that when all of the candles are lit all over this sanctuary, and that's the only light that we have, it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful, and we end up singing Silent Night, Holy Night. That's just beautiful. The look is beautiful. The sound is beautiful. Everything about it is wonderful. But what I love the most about it is the imagery. And so we turn out all the lights. For those of you that don't are guests of ours today and you're not a part of Carols by Candlelight, we turn out every light in the sanctuary, and the only light that we have in the sanctuary is the Advent wreath. So I take my candle, and then I light my candle from the Christ candle. And then I will walk down, and I'll start lighting candles down here on the front row and get somebody from the balcony to come down. And so we have just about four or five candles that are lit. And then they turn around and they start lighting candles, and you can just watch this whole scene unfold. And all of a sudden, the light just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So the visual, the imagery of that visual exercise is so powerful. And that is, we never can forget this in Advent. We take the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, and we take it to our dark and sinful world. And that's exactly what Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. So I'm going to read last Sunday from 1 Corinthians 13. I read Eugene Peterson's The Message. I'm going to do that again today. This is a translation of Matthew 1, 18 through 23 from Eugene Peterson's The Message. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This will bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God is with us. John Stott wrote, when these words in verse 23 were first spoken, the prophet Isaiah was encouraging King Ahaz. God sent Isaiah to the king to say, that an invasion by the allied kings of Syria and Israel would fail. Isaiah offered a sign from God that a child would be born whose mother would call him Emmanuel, translated means God with us. Before the child was even old enough to know what had happened, the land of the two enemies so feared by King Ahaz would be left desolate. Isaiah's words were a source of great hope and encouragement in fearful times. But the words were far more than perhaps even Isaiah knew. This word from Isaiah would be far greater than he could have ever imagined. Imagine that. Isaiah now, looking back to those words that he spoke and going, oh my, in glory. Isaiah going, man, I had no clue. These words foretold the birth of a child whose life, whose death, whose resurrection would cast away all the fears of those who would believe in him. Matthew then came along centuries later and captured the message and used these words to proclaim the birth of Emmanuel. God is with us. Well, times have changed over the course of these centuries. There have been good times. There have been bad times in this crazy sin-filled world that you and I live in. But one thing remains true, okay? That's the point. Over the centuries, when Isaiah first spoke these words to King Ahaz, and then Matthew captured that same idea and said, oh, this is what Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah didn't even know, really. But this is exactly what Isaiah was talking about. His name is Jesus. And so over these centuries, things have gone crazy and we got all, you know. But one thing remains true. And one thing remains certain, and that is this. God in Christ is with us. God in Christ was with Isaiah. God in Christ was with Matthew. God in Christ is with Joel. God in Christ is with us. Well, we live in uncertain times today. My, you know, nothing's changed. We live in uncertain days. The political scene is a complete mess. We've just gone through a presidential election. And boy, it is a complete and utter mess. There are no moral absolutes in our culture. Anything goes. Sin is no longer frowned upon. Matter of fact, there used to be some things that we would all say, okay, that's wrong. That is not right. We might not would call it sin, but it certainly is wrong. Not anymore. Now, it's the complete opposite. Now, sin is glorified by the culture that you and I live in. Let's do more of it. Let's glorify it and glorify it and glorify it to the point to where it's no longer even considered wrong. There are no absolute truths. There are many truths. You have your truth. They have their truth. He has her his truth. She has her truth. So that we can't even agree on, okay, let's all say that there are 3 truths. No. 10 truths. No. We can't agree that there's any such thing as one main truth. No. There are all kinds of truths. I was watching an interview, actually it was a debate a couple of weeks ago. And in this debate, this man was debating several women. And I only recognized one person in the debate, and it was a woman who had been at some point either on ESPN or Fox Sports. I don't know. I don't care. I just recognized her face. So they're having this argument over truth. And this guy said, well, this is what I do for a living. I debate. And I know that when I'm in a debate, if in that debate somebody says something like, well, his truth is, or her truth is, then I realize the debate is over. I just got to wiggle out of this debate as fast as I possibly can. Because a debate tries to come to some kind of conclusion based on fact and truth. And if we've got this truth and this truth and this truth, then there's no sense in us even continuing. All we're going to do is just argue and argue and argue, because we can't come to any kind of conclusion. And he said, but the reality is that there is such thing as the truth. And those women's heads exploded. Boom! Brains were all over the camera lens. I mean, boom, boom. Oh, I thought they were literally going to reach out and grab this poor guy and just beat him to within an inch of his life. I mean, they were livid. No, no, you're wrong. No. There are other truths. He's got a truth. She's got a truth. You've got a truth. And no, there is such a thing as called the truth. No, that's not true. He said, I realize that you're just doing this for the camera, and that you have to look good in front of your people, that you're, you know, liberal and woke. But he looked at this lady and he said, now, weren't you sued a couple of years ago for $5 million? And she said, yes. And how did that come out? She said, I won. Why did you win? Because what he was claiming, alleging that I did, I didn't do. Really? So you didn't have to pay the $5 million? No. As a matter of fact, he then was ordered to have to pay my legal fees. So I was out nothing. Well, how did you win? Well, I didn't do what he alleged that I did. And he said, well, what would have happened if this was a judge, not a jury? And so he said, what would have happened if the judge would have said, well, you've got your truth, and he's got his truth. And he says this is what you did, and his truth is just as important as your truth, so you owe him $5 million. And she exploded again because she realized how wrong she was. But that's the world that you and I live in. Chaos. And it's, I'm not saying it like we should just all walk out of here with, oh, doom and gloom. No, it's been that way. It's been that way ever since Adam and Eve. Nothing's changed is the point that I'm making. It sounds like to me, in the world that I live in, we'd better have a better idea or trust in something better than what our culture is giving us. That's the point that I'm making. And I like Matthew's idea better. And his name will be called Emmanuel. God himself is with us. Yes. That's a better idea. The Christ candle that is in front of us represents several things that are important as we head into the new year. First of all, this. The Christ candle represents deliverance from darkness. Many people are living in darkness. They're living in despair, confusion, uncertainty. People are lonely. People are frightened. People live in darkness. Gerald Borchert had this great word. He said, we live in such a brilliantly lighted world that we cannot appreciate the imagery of a world of darkness. The imagery of darkness was so much more understood in ancient days. They lived without street lights and lighted signs everywhere. Then into this world of darkness, there shone a great light. There is no more meaningful imagery in Scripture to describe what Christ's coming into the world meant than the imagery of light overcoming darkness. That is true. We live in this world that is so brilliantly lighted. Signs everywhere, street lights everywhere. They lived in a world of darkness. When the sun went down, they lived in a dark, dark world. So that imagery was absolutely important for them. Second, the Christ candle reminds us that Jesus is indeed the light of the world. Israel prayed You think about going through the Old Testament, Israel prayed for years and centuries for the Messiah to enter their dark and hostile world. And that's why the prophet Isaiah said, these people walked in darkness and now they have seen a great light. Isaiah was announcing the arrival of the Messiah. Third, the Christ candle reminds us that He is the light of the world, but it is then our place to shine that light. Once again, John Stott says, that is who we are. Because Christ has come into our world, we have become children of God. And as children of God, we are involved in the unfinished business of Christmas. We are those who carry the light into the dark places of the world. We are those who carry love into hostile and hurting places. We are the agents of the peace of Christmas and the hope of Christmas and the joy of Christmas and the love of Christmas. So we bring 2024 to an end. And we bring it to an end by realizing that hope comes not in anything that this world's going to offer. It may happen. It may not happen. We put our hope in that which gives us all eternity. A 100% guarantee. Don't hope in that which you have no clue will happen. Hope in a 100% guarantee. Those words that Isaiah spoke came true. It's a guarantee. Peace, not the world gives, Jesus says, but the peace that I give that will last for all eternity. Joy, not for a moment, not for a year, not for 5 years, when the Christmas gifts will eventually get old and they'll be put away somewhere else. They'll wear out. And there won't be any joy left in that. But this joy lasts for all eternity. And then love from last Sunday. Not me, mine, mine, not about me, but love that will last for all eternity. And then today, we see the Christ candle that is lighted before us. All right, so we bring it all to a conclusion that we are then to be the light of the world. Brian Harbour once said, there is no achievement test that we have to pass. Boy, you just don't know how good that is. God, for somebody like me that was terrible at school, man, I was terrible at school. There's no achievement test, Joel, that you've got to pass. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's no moral teaching that we have to live up to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't have to establish the honorableness of our heritage. We simply believe and trust our lives in Jesus. What a strange way to save the world. And perhaps the strangest thing of all is that God is depending on us to get the message out to the world. There's no foolproof sales plan, no book of techniques to learn. Just entrust the message to some people. Then these people will tell other people, and then they will tell others, and so on and so on and so on. What a strange way to save the world. Do you understand what all that means? It means that God is depending on us to be His witnesses, to get the word out, to penetrate the world's darkness with this incredible message of light and life and hope and peace and love and salvation. So Christian, let your light shine. And that is the closing word of Advent season for First Baptist Church, Gunnersville. Church, Christian, believer, let your light shine. Father, thank you for that good word. Thank you for a powerful image that you give to us as we come to the conclusion of this year of 2024 and we look forward to a new year ahead of us. We are those who are called to shine the light of the gospel to a dark world. Let our light shine. Give us strength and encouragement. We can't do this alone, Father. That's a given. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. If there are those who are here today, Father, that have never trusted you as Savior and Lord, what a wonderful day of salvation for them to end 2024, moving into 2025 with Jesus holding their hand for all eternity. What a beautiful picture today. For those of us that know you as Savior and Lord, Father, grab our hand and hold it tighter than you've ever held it before. Don't let it go. Squeeze our hand so tight, Lord, that we know your hope, your peace, and your joy, and your love. All wrapped up in a little bitty baby born in a manger named Jesus. Emmanuel, God is with us. May we know that truth today, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Jesus before, then we encourage you to do that today. If you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Be seated. What do we have first?
We are Joe and Shauna, and we serve in Luanda, Angola.
We're here right now to learn language and culture, but we will eventually move to the city of Lubango. Interesting facts about Luanda. Average population here, I think, is like 18 years old. 75% is under the age of 25. And everything here was largely affected by decades of civil war. So we have lots of unengaged, unreached people groups, which means there is a ton of people here without the gospel. So we always get to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ because you give to the cooperative program and you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And for this, we thank you so much.
All right, so if you've not yet given to Lottie Moon, please make sure that you do, realizing that 100%, if you give a dollar, all 100% of that $1 goes to missionaries like that all over the world, carrying the light of the gospel to our dark world. So if you haven't yet given, please make sure that you do. All right, Carson? Spots, helping to fund our parking lot, new parking lot out there where the grassy area is. Where our buses park, and then some renovations in our fellowship hall. So we like to go ahead and get started on those. So if you'd like to give, help us to get those things started. Give to Spots. All right. January Bible study. Paul brought a new idea to me. We talked about it and decided let's just do this on Wednesday evening. So January Bible study from January 8th that Wednesday night to February 5th that night, and some of our senior adult men are going to lead those Bible studies. So the sign up is on the old Lord's Supper table, so everybody's welcome, but it's going to be led by our senior adults. So that'll be here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock for those five Wednesday nights, all right? Unoffendable. Julie Brown and Rachel Brown going to be leading that for our women starting January the 8th, that Wednesday night as well. And so see Julie, see Rachel about signing up. It's on the Old Lord's Supper table as well. Sign up for that, and that is going to be a wonderful Bible study for you women, all right? Know the schedule real quick this week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the office is closed. Nothing Wednesday night. Next Sunday We're back on normal 8:15 early worship, 9:15 Sunday school, 10:30 traditional worship, everything just like normal. And then next Sunday night, we have a special night in our church. So next Sunday night, we will be ordaining Michael Brown and Jared Jackson to deacon ministry. So two that will be ordained next Sunday night. We want you to come be a part of that celebration for Michael and for Jared and for our entire church. So keep that in mind as well. All right. Happy New Year, everybody. Wish you a Happy New Year. And we're going to leave by singing Celebrate Jesus.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He is risen.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. And He celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.